Hey everybody, welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And this week we're going to be covering the season premiere of A Walking Dead called What Lies Ahead, I think his title is.
What Lies Ahead is us tearing the guts out of this episode.
Maybe.
Daryl guts a zombie.
Yeah.
We're going to unpack its stomach contents, see what it recently ate.
Yep. Probably badger.
Gross a few listeners out.
Possibly. But before we do that, we want to do a little introduction because people probably don't know who we are if they're not familiar with our Breaking Good podcast. Do you want to go first? Maybe tell the listeners a little bit about your zombie background and your background with Walking Dead.
All right. I have no zombie background.
This is true.
I am a giant pussy when it comes to horror films. My partner Jim here put a gun to my head last season and made me watch The Walking Dead. And I did so. I guess it wouldn't be accurate to say that I'm afraid of horror films. They just really stress me out because I've got this almost hypervigilance when it comes to danger situations and, you know, protecting my family, my kids. So when I'm watching horror films, a very strong horror motif is that the people in the survival situation are fucking retards. They're morons.
Yeah, sure.
And they do stupid things, like they split their party,
they go
in unarmed areas, they don't just immediately leave the camp where they're being slaughtered.
Horror movie trope, man.
And call in the military. No, so I find that I get this very strong like stress response.
You want to flee the room. You
wanna I want to get a machete and jump in there and have those people out and in safety in like 15 minutes.
Gotcha. So. Wouldn't make for very good movies or television.
Yeah, it's also like when I'm watching my son play a video game and he's getting his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. I feel the same. Like, just I gotta sit on my hands to keep from grabbing a controller.
Okay, awesome. So I'm Jim Jones. If you've listened to any of our other podcasts, I'm basically on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've seen probably A to Z, the entire alphabet of zombie movies.
A lot of Z.
A lot of Z there.
Z is overrepresented zombie library.
Yeah, the Aombies, not so popular. No.
Bombies?
Mombies. Mombies. I got a couple Mombies. Yeah, so I've seen tons of zombie movies. I love like a good gore fest. So The Walking Dead really delivers there for me. As far as my background with The Walking Dead, I've read, I think, the first four trade paperbacks. So I've got a good chunk of the story under my belt. And seeing how it all lines up with the show has been interesting. But I don't want to go too long on the introductions. I think that's good enough. Do we have any news, perhaps?
The only thing I was going to say is we actually were going to do this last year. Mm-hmm. And we had some scheduling conflicts, weren't able to do it. And we recorded several episodes about zombies in general and the show and our experiences. Might we... if the viewers are interested, maybe we can edit those up and post them just as like bonus content. I don't know if they're
interested. We'll see. The audio quality is pretty low, so I don't know if
they
want to hear them. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
We didn't have the good setup yet?
No, not yet. So anyway, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit in the news section about the drama with Darabont.
Me too.
The drama bont situation.
Well, it's all hearsay at this point.
It is, because no one's officially come out and said, hey, this is what happened, but...
We're going to officially, unofficially come out and tell you what's happened.
But we do know a couple things, right? We know this first episode that they showed this season was basically 15 minutes of Darabont stuff that was shot. And then the episode two of the season was spliced in with that to make episode one.
Right.
The longer hour and a half version.
Right.
So how did that all happen? Do you know?
I've heard theories. I read an article on Ain't It Cool News. I mean, the other thing we know is that Darabont showed up at Comic-Con to and enthusiastically supporting and showing off the show. And days later, he was fired. Either he quit or he was fired.
Yeah, there was a parting of ways.
But the Ain't It Cool News article intimates that the AMC execs sat down immediately after Comic-Con to watch the first four or five episodes, and the first episode that Darabont wrote and directed was unwatchable.
Unwatchable. I really am curious to know what that means.
And they had, that's why they changed all their plans. And now instead of coming out 13 episodes, they're going to come out with like, what, 6 or 7? And then they're going to do, take a hiatus and then come back in the spring.
With another 6, yep.
That they've had to rework all this. But so what they did is I guess they took the 16 minutes that were relatively good, which is the zombie, you know, the herd moving through the interstate sequence. And they took that and then spliced it and did some kind of rough cuts and made it work with episode 2. So they never intended to make one 90-minute. And first of all, it's crock of shit that was a 90-minute episode. That was okay. About 58 minutes of Walking Dead and 32 minutes of crazy commercials.
That's what most TV shows are.
Yeah, but you know, they usually show The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and Mad Men with limited commercial interruption, then I think we're just boiled by that.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the thought is that either Darabont did not like the fact that they made that decision or didn't agree with the direction and either quit, or the AMC execs, you know, tired of having to shoot around his schedule and, you know, not happy with the results, fired him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turned it over to his second in command, and now I believe that they are probably doing a lot of more post-production and maybe reshoots of the second half of the season.
Probably. I don't even know if they have the whole season under their belt yet.
Shooting. I'm not sure either. And if the listeners have heard more, because we thought we were going to have like 2 weeks to, you know, kind of bone up on this and do shows about the, and AMC also threw us a curve by releasing it last weekend right after Breaking Bad concluded.
Yeah, instead of on Halloween like they did last year, which I thought they were going to do again this year.
Well, I actually thought that they actually had press materials and such that was going to happen. Until we got to October. I'm like, holy crap, this is going to overlap Breaking Bad, and this is going to really inconvenience our podcast schedule. We didn't have the iTunes feed ready or anything. So kind of caught us with our pants down. The zombie crashed into the portalette. We had to hastily tug him up to our waist.
And run to our microphones.
And run to our microphones. So.
Okay, well, it might be a good time now going into the recap to talk about what we thought about the episode as a whole. Because the way it was spliced together and cut was, I can't see this being 2 episodes, in my opinion.
Oh, I thought very strongly I could see where, you know,
No. What I'm saying is I can't see this being 2 good episodes.
Okay.
I see this being 15 minutes to a half an hour of awesome at the beginning, and then an hour of
pretty tedious stuff.
Some of it was okay. A lot of it was, in my opinion, not good.
Well, I think you would agree that this first season was pretty schizophrenic.
It was.
Everything that involved zombies being on screen was pretty excellent.
I rewatched the pilot tonight. Uh-huh. Fantastic. I thought that was really good.
Everything involving the characters just standing around talking and arguing and bickering and having their little dramas was not good.
Yeah, all the soap opera-y stuff.
And it's weird that, and I'm going to highlight several of these when we go through the recap, but it's very weird to me that it doesn't seem to be any one thing. Sometimes the scene is just ridiculous because it was written that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it seems like the writing was decent, but the acting was kind of poor. Hmm. And sometimes it seems like the direction, like when we get to the set piece highway, I'm going to talk about that. Like they just staged a shot, picked a location, and framed everything just wrong. That made and made me break reality with the series.
Yeah, well, that was part of the Darabont thing that they said was unwatchable. So, I mean, that may be part of it. You know, that director that he had in there shooting.
Yeah,
maybe he came back with footage they couldn't use, and that was what they could make of it.
So,
Okay, so let's go into the recap. It's not going to be a super chronological because this show jumps around a lot with like different groups. So we're just going to kind of take the set pieces.
Yeah, all you people in Breaking Bad are like, oh, wish you'd go nonlinear. Well, you just got your wish.
yeah. Follow us here.
We're making the jump to Plaid.
So first thing, obviously, we get the opening montage and like them leaving Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. The formerly Hotlanta.
Yeah. And Rick is still talking to Morgan on the walkie.
This is a dumb dramatic device. This thing doesn't have voicemail,
but he talks to Jesus later on.
Well, but theoretically, Jesus could actually hear him. You know, uh-huh. He's not using terrestrial technology with known limitations. Like, you can't time shift a signal. If he's not on the other end talking back, he's mm-hmm. not getting it. So yeah. You're just doing this as a form of intellectual, you know, I don't know, survival masturbation.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of this stuff where Rick is talking to himself or Jesus or whatever is him trying to stay strong in this situation, because he's definitely the moral compass, you know? He's like the guy who's trying to keep them human while everything is coming crashing down around them. So when he talks to himself or Morgan over the walkie or Jesus, I think he's really, like, trying to keep himself in the game.
Okay, I buy that. All right. Still think it's a dumb dramatic device. Or maybe
possibly,
it's just
yeah.
Maybe it's just Andrew Lincoln doesn't give good CB. I don't know. Or good radio.
Okay.
His speed. Again, I think the writing that might have been able to work, but mm-hmm. it seemed like the writing and the acting kind of came together to make it just not work for me.
Okay. So it's been 2 days. Apparently, we find out
mm-hmm.
since they left the CDC, and they're headed to Fort Benning. I couldn't believe that they teased us again with what Jenner told Rick.
That's like, another WTF.
He said, "Oh, it's not important. Don't worry."
Right. Like, they showed it in the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew it happened if we'd forgotten. And then like 30 seconds later, he's going to drop like,
yeah. Super tease.
Yeah.
And I want to know, first of all, we get like a montage of them leaving the city, right?
Uh-huh.
And this shot of them driving out is the same shot that we saw with Rick riding in on the horse. And I thought that was really cool. It shows that nothing has changed in this city, obviously. That
right.
People aren't running around here. I just thought it was a really cool, like, juxtaposition there. Or not juxtaposition, but, like, connection between them entering and them leaving. But,
I thought it'd be cool if, like, the Latino nursing home gang, like somebody from the rooftop had, like, you know, waved a gun at him or something.
Okay.
Like, adios.
Yeah, give a 21 gun salute, just start shooting off the rooftops.
Right.
Uh-huh, sure.
All the zombies.
And a lot of people were saying that they didn't like that shot, but because basically they were like, oh, why don't the people who are stuck in this traffic jam go over to the other side of the road? My thinking is the police probably had that blocked off. I mean, the city was clearly under martial law. They've got tanks roaming the streets of Atlanta.
Why didn't it go the other side of the highway?
Yeah.
It was choked with cars.
I know. That's what they're saying. Like, you see that, you get onto the other side of the highway.
Well, they were on the blank part of the highway.
No. The people who were stuck in the traffic jam.
Oh.
That presumably got eaten or died or whatever.
Well, I mean, there again, that's kind of... Wasn't that from the comic book? I thought that...
It might have been.
Because... what they are correct is in most martial law evacuations, like if you Google for hurricane evacuation images, mm-hmm. they actually usually convert both incoming, outcoming, and let you drive both just to double the capacity of the highway. I don't know how they straighten that out downstream. That must be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how they handle that. So in theory, both lanes should be completely choked with traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, it wouldn't be very easy to get out of Atlanta then, would it, for the survivors? No.
I guess it would not.
So then they get on the road, and we get an awesome shot of Daryl, who is ultra badass on his chopper with his crossbow on the back.
And his Nazi SS symbol on his tank.
Really? Seriously?
Yes, that's another thing. Like, do we have to make them that racist?
Wow.
They have to be white supremacists? Which
apparently,
which maybe that's his brother's motorcycle, and it wasn't really his, because I never thought he was a big asshole as Merle.
See, I assumed he just picked that motorcycle up somewhere. Did
Maybe. I don't recall, but I do know that there was that SS, you know, lightning bolt symbols on the gas tank. So he's driving a white supremacist motorcycle.
Okay,
which ironically is all black.
Yeah, it is. It should be
not
all
very
white.
Not very Aryan of him.
So then we get a couple status updates from both the RV and from the Grimes vehicle. Rick is actually promising Sophia that they never go to the Grand Canyon without you or your mom.
Uh-oh.
And that's my theory is that's why they're actually looking for Sophia. He really wants to go to the Grand Canyon, but he made this promise, so he's got to find her.
No, but I did think that she and her mom were completely fucked when he said that.
Oh, yeah, because it has the double meaning there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're definitely going to go missing in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was cool that Shane is trying to pass his skills on to Andrea. Like, these people are very open and willing to share information and
oh,
teach
really?
The things.
I got a heavily I want in your pants vibe from that.
No, because really? Later on when she says, hey, I want to go with you, he's like, no. What good are you going to do?
Well, yeah.
That's when the opposite of in your pants.
I know that. I'm just saying in that particular scene before he'd formulated the idea that maybe he was like, okay, why we're in a group and there's a group collective taking care of you.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to slow me down when we're alone, but.
Maybe.
That's the vibe I got. He was being a little slick and she was being a little coy and.
Well, either way, he's sharing skills, which is a good idea in a zombie apocalypse
sure,
scenario.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to know how to survive.
Everyone needs to know how to clean a gun.
For sure.
And yeah. Field strip it.
So when they got to the pack of cars, instead of going into the cars, apparently gas was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They end up siphoning gas. Why didn't they just do it immediately?
Instead of, what do you mean immediately?
Like they roll up on the cars. They mm-hmm. see, oh, this is going to be difficult to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And they just siphon gas and turn around and go through the pass, whatever the Glen was looking at on the map.
Well, because I think they wanted to send the one dude ahead to scout to see if there's a way through. And they were going to try to, and he said, yeah, there is. And they're going to try to pick the way through. And the RV
busted down.
Went TU. So yeah.
Now, that's another thing. This is a really, really good place for the RV to break down, right?
Right.
Like the ideal place.
Well, I think the ideal
room
place
mechanic
would be
shop.
Like a... A military base with a full, you know...
Possibly, yeah. An underground missile silo or something.
Right, right.
Yeah, but you can't do too much worse or too much better than, like, just a car graveyard. Like, right. All of these cars are running. They probably have the keys in them.
Yes.
If you have gas, just... And your car doesn't work, take a car.
There's a lot of people that said, why in the hell didn't they just take the two newest looking cars or the multiple newest looking cars and just, take off?
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I could think to counter that is the RV has some value. But,
yeah,
you know, as a plate, it can haul a lot of stuff and move a lot of stuff. It
has a bathroom.
But on the, yeah, it has a bathroom. Yeah, but really, that's not a consideration in the goddamn zombie apocalypse.
It kind of is. You don't want to have to get out of the car to use the bathroom, you know?
Not everyone in the group is riding in the RV, dude.
That's true. They just go out the window.
Yeah, just hang your ass out the window. No, I just, I think that there is a little merit to that. And people are like, well, you know, these cars have known reliability. And they're like, okay, yeah. Especially the RV is known to break down all the goddamn time.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just get a newer car, siphon as much stuff as you want, scavenge as much stuff as you can, and then take off? Because the other thing is, what if they all just scavenge a bunch of pickup trucks? They'd have just as much carrying capacity and a whole lot more utility. And then if one breaks down, it's not devastating. It's like, okay, well, jump in the back till we can find another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all over the place. Zombies aren't driving them.
That's absolutely true. There are millions of cars out there.
That'd be hilarious if the herd was driving cars.
Might break continuity a little bit.
They were all driving Humvees.
It'd
be social commentary. That'd be totally a Romero move.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Zombies
right?
are shooting guns and
driving
Humvees.
SUVs. Yep. And, yeah, yeah. So I'm not really sure why they even needed this scene, honestly, with the RV breaking down, because they don't. It would have been better
because there would have not been the set piece had this not happened. I mean, you know what I
no,
mean?
No, it would have. Well, I guess they wouldn't be out and about.
They would have kept on driving.
Well, why couldn't they have all, like, just driven up to it and, realized, hey, there's stuff in these cars. We need to go out and find this. We have no water. Mm-hmm. They've been complaining, hey, we have no water.
Mm-hmm.
Come up to the water truck, get everybody out finding stuff, and then have the zombies attack.
I don't know.
Because they're still stuck in the middle of this pack of cars,
and
right?
It seems like they will be for some time.
So wouldn't it have been better to have, like, this struggle between Rick and Carol and Dale or whoever who are trying to... who are fighting everybody else to find
Look,
Sophia
man,
before they leave.
You're picking nits. We've got knacks, okay? There's a lot of stuff that we can tear into.
Did you want to tear into Lori in this scene?
Oh, about her response about this is a graveyard and how I feel about this. Yeah. Lady, term, female dog. The whole world's a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So you better get used to grave looting.
Yeah.
And robbing of the grave goods, because that's all you're going to get.
Yeah, it turns out there's a lot of stuff you're going to have to do that doesn't sit well with you in the zombie apocalypse.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that says something, like, I can see a little bit of moralizing here or there, and, like, you know, mm-hmm. let's not lose our humanity, but that, with everything that the group has been through at that point, mm-hmm. just seemed like someone should smack her, if not drive her from the group.
Yeah, I'd like to see either of those, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Lori much.
Really?
She's wishy-washy, she's naggy.
Do you think the people that run AMC are misogynists? Because name one positive female character on an AMC drama.
Peggy from Mad Men.
Okay, you got me.
But yeah, there aren't too many
more.
Or
I guess she's no more flawed than Dawn is.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so I don't know that she's a shining example of human normality and decency, but I'm just saying it seems like there's a lot of effed up women and women that you are designed yeah. almost to hate.
Isn't that TV in general, I think?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're a misogynist, Jim.
I could be. Could be. I need to go write for The Walking Dead.
You could probably do a better job.
So we see here again that Dale's passing his skills on to Glenn. He's showing him how to repair the radiator hose or whatever it is.
Yeah, and also showing him how to not look out.
Yes, showing him how to...
His not looking out skills are impressive.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Here's again where I think that the direction kind of let this show down, because it would have been very easy. So they're staged at the bend of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, it looked like they're about a half mile or three quarters of a mile up from the bend. What if they were right at the bend and there was like a stand of trees or something that was blocking their view? So mm-hmm. you could legitimately, you know, the zombies come around that corner and they've only got a minute to react.
Yeah, they could get up on you before you realized it.
But he was just standing up there looking in one direction for mm-hmm. however long, and he finally bothered to turn around, and the whole horde was right on them. And yeah. these aren't like Olympic sprinters.
No, the entire herd just assembled. I don't know if they came out of the woods or they came walking down the road.
It looked like they were walking down the road, and that's the other thing. wouldn't they have passed this giant herd?
No, uh-uh.
Why not?
I assumed it was in front of them.
No, it came up from behind them.
Are you sure?
Yes.
They must have assembled from the woods then.
No, I think they were following the road and they passed hundreds of zombies and didn't even notice them.
You think
because
so?
Because hundreds then of zombies snuck up within, you know, 50 feet away and before they've noticed them.
That's
so
true.
So why not, you know?
Well, I mean, they could have heard the cars and just been following the noise out there.
They're just not that fast, man.
They're not fast, no.
That was a huge herd.
It was large, 100 zombies.
Do you think a herd that size could stay together in a wooded environment? I would think that woods would be like sending balls through a Plinko machine.
Yeah.
It would just like zombies would bounce off trees and stumble down riverbeds and get completely lost, and they would come out straggling. They wouldn't come out in a giant group.
Yeah, so they must have been walking down the road.
Right. That's what I think. So again, didn't anyone that was staging this shot or writing this scene or acting say, like, you know, this is kind of weird? And it would have been just as effective, right, if they had a logical reason that the zombies could have, you know, kind of snuck up on them, and maybe even have a character point out, we got to get moving, we're sitting ducks here.
Uh-huh.
Then me as a viewer can be like, okay, brain, they've explained this adequately. I can now watch the drama ensue. Instead, I'm sitting there picking apart everything that's going on and thinking the survivors are complete idiots.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird too, because when I saw the pilot, and last season it was pretty good about this, but they seem to pay very close attention to detail, and that was not a detail that would have been overlooked. Like, for instance, in the pilot last season, when Rick shoots the gun in the tank, they have him his ears are ringing like you would.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a detail that most people wouldn't think about, but they did. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to see that lack of detail here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe there were things that made it make more sense, but they cut, you know, they cut 40 minutes out of the episode. I don't know.
Maybe.
What did you think about Shane taking a bath with their newly found water?
I thought that was a dick move.
Just pulling the plug and be like, woo, we got water.
That's like a week's worth of water you just wasted.
Yeah.
Here. We don't know if there's any more water we can drink on the planet.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much water that they have access to that you can just start, you know, just dumping it over your head, giving yourself a Gatorade bath.
No kidding. And Glenn was awfully excited about that water, man. Well,
it's a good discovery. I'm just saying that again.
It is, but he was excited.
These characters act like they are nerds LARPing a zombie apocalypse. Rather than, that's what the feeling is. I don't really feel like, unless zombies are on the screen and they're acting all scared, I don't think that they're minute-to-minute appreciate the situation they're in. They're not convincing me as actors.
Yeah, they're...
That they are taking this... I mean, they fight about stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They get way too involved in minutiae and, you know, they're very too much concerned with creature comforts and stuff like that and reminiscing and, you know, I don't know. It just...
No, I'm with you. I think when something goes that drastically wrong, your focus is pretty much on that until it's taken care of. And it is certainly not taken care of yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a safe place to stay at all. So, I don't know. Speaking of not safe places to stay, apparently the highway is not a safe place to stay because the herd comes up. And this was a really, really cool scene. I felt, sitting there, putting myself in their shoes, that I would be terrified.
Oh, yeah. It was again, that was a very effective scene.
Extremely.
How they got to and built it up was... You know, you could quibble with, but the execution of zombies going through and everyone's hiding under the cars and have to be quiet. Mm-hmm. What did you think about a lot of the criticism that was based around, well, I thought zombies could smell humans?
Well, they asked, what's his name? Robert Kirkman on The Talking Dead after the show about that very thing. I thought they could smell people. He says, well, their sense of smell is not like a bloodhound. They're not going to track you down with it, but if they... If they, like, see you, they can tell that you're not one of the dead by smelling you.
Like, humans can't smell, like, unless you really reek.
Uh-huh.
I can't smell another human from, like, you're across a table from me. I can't smell you.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you were dead, I could smell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, almost they're looking for something that isn't there.
That moves but doesn't smell.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's what kind of triggers them.
So that seems plausible to me. I think I want to do a couple segments here. Zombie Kill of the Week. We definitely need to go into Zombie Kill of the Week here because Daryl...
I don't know where you're going with this.
Oh, man. Daryl comes up with an awesome zombie kill. When he's trying to save T-Dog, he comes up right behind the zombie, puts a knife right in the back of base of his spine, and just drops him.
It's very valiant, but we know that, you know, T-Dog severed an artery in his forearm. He's going to bleed out in a matter of minutes, if not seconds. So it was a good effort there, Daryl, but fortunately, we're going to have to cut to a funeral scene the very next break.
Yeah, but anyway, Daryl is a huge badass, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, throughout this entire episode, he's proving his badassness.
He is far and away my favorite character, and was so last year, too.
In fact, I completely agree.
I'm waiting for the moment where he's like, F y'all, I'm out of here, or he should kind of be the leader. I think he should take control from Rick.
Yeah, yeah, he seems the most pragmatic, right?
I don't know the group would support that at this point, but he'd have my vote.
Yeah, I think he needs to cozy up to the group a little bit more before he goes taking the lead, you know. Maybe Rick will get split off somehow and he'll have to take the lead. But I don't know. I love that scene.
Pretty smart redneck for using the corpses as cover, too.
Yeah, yeah. He just drops a corpse on both of them, masks the smell.
Mm-hmm.
I
kind of thought you might give the zombie kill of the week to Andrea.
No,
the screwdriver
was good.
Through the eyes.
If Daryl himself wasn't such a badass,
then
I would have.
Yeah.
But the way he just crouched around that car and snuck up on the thing, like he knew what was up before T-Dog even cut himself.
Yeah.
No, he was on it.
Let me ask you this. Andrea, she should have just sat in the bathroom and been freaking quiet.
Yeah, totally.
Why was she obsessed with putting the gun together? Because if she put the gun together and started firing,
yes,
the whole herd would have been on them.
Yeah, it's a good thing she didn't get that assembled.
Maybe she isn't to be trusted with a weapon.
Maybe not. I don't know. They certainly don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where everybody kind of splits off after the scene where Sophia runs out into the woods. I guess we'll kind of break this up as like the tracking scenes and then the people back at the RV.
Okay.
So let's talk about the tracking scenes. I thought it was weird that none of the other quote-unquote badasses of the group followed Rick into the woods.
Or her mother.
Nobody who's supposedly awesome or cares went after her except Rick.
Right. Like, even maybe... I'm very surprised that Shane didn't. I mean, obviously, T-Dog's dead. He's already okay. bled out, and they're yep. just to discover that. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised Daryl didn't, although that might be a little out of his self-interest, you know, especially with the herd still, probably not that big a distance away from them.
Yeah. And you got to figure the stragglers, you know, the ones that found Sophia.
Right. So, but yeah, I don't know why Shane wouldn't have done that. I don't know why her mother wouldn't have run out there. The fact that Rick was the only one, I thought that was very convenient.
Well, it also, again, reinforces that, hey, this is the good guy here.
Sure.
This is the guy we all want to root for.
But it makes me think her mom, like when her mom is lecturing this dude later, I want to be, it doesn't sit well with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a dad, and I think a lot of moms out there, if your 12-year-old girl runs into the woods chased by two zombies, you're going to go after her. Because what else are you going to do?
Sure, yeah.
So,
I don't know. Carol's a weird bird.
She is. I mean, I guess if you want to unpack her character.
Okay.
This is a woman who is kind of like probably before society had broken down was going to just accept the fact that her husband is beating her and was going to probably start molesting and raping her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her solution was going to be to pray to God about it and wait for him to do something about it. So maybe this is actually true to her character, just passive whatever.
That's not a bad point,
yeah.
Actually. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure the writers had that in mind. It almost seems to me like...
I'm there. I got your back, writers.
I want to talk about the writing a little bit.
Okay.
Because coming up in these parts with like the church and the parts with everybody at the RV and Shane and Lori and stuff like that, it feels to me like the writers don't understand the motivations of these characters very well.
Yes.
Because for one, all these characters feel very much the same to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't distinguish Lori's personality from Andrea's, from Carol's. The kids, they're the same to me. And they're just characters that I don't care about yet.
It's kind of odd that I don't really care about any of the characters going on a season into this show.
The only ones I care about are Rick and Daryl, I think.
I care about Daryl. I don't really even care about Rick, honestly.
No, not at all.
I don't think Rick is interesting. I don't think he's very... He hasn't been a decisive leader.
I think he has.
Really?
Yeah.
If he was a decisive leader, he would have offed Merle.
Oh, so he hasn't been a ruthless leader, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying ruthless. I'm saying this guy was a threat to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And, he does some half-ass, half-measure, like, which ends up being cruel. Have we seen the last of Merle?
No, definitely not.
I don't know where he's going to come up, but,
if
we don't, that will be the biggest first season build-up flop since the kid in Walt in Lost.
Yeah. He eventually comes back, but he's 100 years older. which I also want to talk about. How are they going to deal with Carl and Sophia aging?
A great question. Because already the kid's playing Carl's going through a little creepy phase, I think.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of the boy next door in Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. He's real creepy.
He's got this kind of like this really wooden style, and the way he smiles doesn't touch his eyes.
Can I have some of your hair, Andrea? Your hair is pretty.
He's got those dead.
No, it's Dale. Can I have some of your hair, Dale? I lost enough, boy. Get out of here.
He's got those dead great white eyes, man.
Yeah, he's creepy. what were we even talking about now?
The writers. I don't know.
The writers. Oh, yeah. I just feel like all this soap opera stuff, the flip-flopping with Lori, she doesn't know whether she wants to hump or kill Shane the time.
Yeah, the last time they had a meaningful conversation, Shane tried to rape her, and then she said, stay away from me and my family.
Yeah.
Shane announces, hey, I'm leaving the group, and I'm also putting distance between me and your son, and she's like, why are you being such a dick?
Yeah.
Why are you leaving far? We need you. Why are you being mean to my son?
Really? Are you sure about that? Because you just told me to leave.
Like, did the writers watch the shows themselves?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And that's the big problem I have. Like, I really, really love zombies. I liked the first season of the show a whole lot. I thought it was good. It had some sketchy parts, like we said, and most of it came down to that soap opera type stuff. But I just don't feel like it feels too comic booky to me. You know, like comic books, you can get away with some cheesy dialogue because you have to basically tell them everything that's happening through dialogue. You don't have the same motion and the same, I guess, articulation of the
images. I don't know if I agree with that, but you can get away with being a little bit more pulpy and melodramatic, I guess. And also, you don't have to worry.
Carried over.
You don't have to worry about acting.
Sure.
You can draw a single frame of anguish, and you don't have to worry about the character pulling that off. You drew it, right?
Well, I think a lot of these characters, the cast actually pulls it off pretty well. I think a lot of them are decent actors.
Yes.
Aside from the accent, Rick is really, or Andrew Lincoln is good.
He does a very good job.
I think the guy who plays Shane is good. I think, obviously, Norman Reedus is fantastic. I don't think there's a whole lot of bad acting. Actually, with Andrea and Dale outside the RV where she's talking to him about how, like, you saved my life, I didn't want you to, all that stuff. I thought that was well acted.
But there again, I feel like the writers let the scene down because they got this thing where when anyone's standing up and grandstanding, and it seems like one person does it at least once an episode, the writers decide, well, this viewpoint's correct, and the other characters are going to sit there and just be, like, slack-jawed and like, oh, there's nothing to refute. If I was Dale, I'd be like, oh, I took your choice away? No, I didn't. All I said is, I don't want to live if you don't, if you're not going to be with me. And it's not worth it for me. The only thing I'm living for is for you.
Yeah.
How did that take her choice away?
It didn't. She did the exact same thing to
him
that she's accusing him of
to
her.
Well, you can't make that decision just because you can't base your decision on an action I'm doing. It's it's ludicrous. And why there weren't multiple people, like, grow the F up.
I don't know, man.
Again, the writers, did they watch the scene where that took place?
I guess not.
I can see her being chagrined about it and having that selfish viewpoint of it, but I don't know why Dale wouldn't come right back and be, you know, his whole take of why I just expected gratitude was wrongheaded and stupid. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's like the writers needed this to happen because they wanted the story to go this way, so they wrote it that way.
Oh, I'm certain of it. I'm certain they have... They don't seem to have, like, the story, I don't know, dexterity that something like Breaking Bad does, you know, where they can really naturally write into a place that they want to go.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like everything here has been forced. Like, oh, well, we need them to not just drive straight to Fort Benning, so let's get Sophia to run out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little forced to me.
Which I don't understand, because why wouldn't you want to get them to Fort Benning? That would be an interesting thing. We've spent a whole freaking season watching these people fuck around in the woods.
Yeah.
Do we need to do another 3 or 4 episodes that way? Move them on. Move them on to this, you know, wherever they're going to go. I would like to see them maybe try to set up shop and hold the fort or run into some some truly hostile, not fake hostile people that are actually secretly taking care of a bunch of grandmas in a nursing home.
Do
something different, man. Again, we've seen enough of them farting around on roads and woods aimlessly.
I agree. And that's, I hate to keep comparing it to Breaking Bad, but they're on the same network and they're billed similarly. Breaking Bad does this really well with the pacing. It just is rapid fire, but it doesn't have these...
No, it has slow episodes, too, but they're very interesting because we care about the characters.
Yeah, which is a problem here in Walking Dead. We don't care.
Again, by the end of season 2, we're not caring about the characters, that will be a huge problem. And I hope they can right the ship, because obviously they had a whole lot of bumps and stuff. And again, I would say this episode was half excellent, half horseshit.
Yeah, I don't want to come across as... absolutely hating this episode, because I thought it was good.
Why are we even podcasting? I'm flipping off the soundboard.
I thought it was good, but certainly the first half was better. The stuff that's action-based is very, very good.
Right.
And
they do it so well, and the makeup effects are so good, and they've obviously spent a lot of time casting. They just need to get it together when it comes to the plot. And, you know, I haven't read many of the... I've only read the comics... up until the events of the first season, as far as I could tell.
Okay.
So I don't know what's coming, but I will say that it seems like when the first season followed the comic, it was very good. When it diverged, it was very bad. And if you're going to adapt something, like, for example, HBO did the Game of Thrones, that was pretty much a shot for shot.
Yeah.
Very much like they did with the Godfather movie. They, it's like, this is a fantastic book that Mario here has written. We're just going to film it.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic comic. We liked it so much we optioned a very expensive season, but we're going to throw away 75% of it and introduce new characters. And I don't understand.
That seems
the
weird.
Comic works.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't they just stick with what they're doing with the comic?
I don't know, man.
It's not like people that read the Game of Thrones were like, oh, we hate the fact that there are no surprises or no twists. I mean, people enjoy it on that level, too.
Yeah, they just like seeing it brought to life, you know?
And I would suspect not a whole hell of a lot of people have read The Walking Dead anyway.
That's probably true. I mean, certainly less than have read Game of Thrones, you know?
Right. So I think you can get away with, when this thing's pulling down 7 million people watching it, you could slavishly follow the comics and be A-okay with 99% of that audience.
Probably.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah. So we've gone on a long time about that. I think we should go ahead and skip to where they're in the woods and doing the church thing and all that.
Wait, before you say that, I will say we've noticed a trend in this show, because a lot of people were complaining about this on Steppenwall's blog and on Reddit, Walking Dead subreddit. The gratuitous sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love
Daryl was not, that was not gutting a zombie. He was cutting in half.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's just kind of like,
you don't need a 6-inch blade.
It's kind of the same way where they spent 2 minutes having Rick hack the guts of that one apart so they could put the entrails around themselves in the first season. I think this is a thing that the show deliberately does, kind of like for humor.
Oh, yeah, that was totally...
You either get it or you don't.
That scene was comedy, no doubt.
I thought so, especially when it goes on so long.
He makes 3 cuts? Why do you need 3 cuts?
And not just a cut, like,
yeah,
hands over his head, pile driving into... he was cutting the zombie in half.
Yeah, and the look on Rick's face at the time is like, oh, ugh. And then when he's rooting around in his guts, that's comedy too, man. Mm-hmm. They're playing the gore for comedy, and I like that.
Yeah, and the sound effects and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Okay, so you ready to talk about the church?
Yes. Before we get there, though, one more scene with the mother, Carol.
Okay.
Where she's throwing that giant guilt trip.
And Lori tries to set her straight.
No. The one that's side of the road when they come back for the first day and, like, look, it's getting too dark.
Oh, and she's talking to Rick.
And she's throwing this big guilt trip on him. And she's like, my little girl got left in the woods.
Yeah.
I actually was on the fence about whether that's effective or not. I started thinking about it, and I'm like, it was effective, but it seems like a mother making that point would have been insisting on going out in a search party, would have been much more insistent that they don't cut the thing off, would have ran out into the woods, would have been, like, emotionally devastated, like a wreck, like hysterical.
Yeah.
And she was just like, you know, almost like she was... She used the same tone of voice scolding Rick like a bitchy wife would her husband that squeezed the toothpaste from the middle of the tube or left the lid of the toilet up.
Okay.
Like, she's got her arms crossed, she's got, like, hip out, and she's like, I can't believe you left my little girl in the woods. That's called for that. I mean, was it written like that, or did she underplay it, or what the hell?
I don't know, man.
Did you think that was weird?
Not particularly. I don't have any kids, though, so...
But you do understand that humans spawn, and that those spawn are very important to them, right?
Yeah, but I don't understand the actual importance.
Okay.
I mean, I understand that they are important, but as far as the extent of what you go through mentally, you know?
All right.
I have no idea.
Jim has no heart.
No heart,
no
soul.
He's not been to the wizard.
Okay, so let's go to the church where the bells are ringing.
Uh-huh.
I think you brought this point up while we were watching the episode. Shouldn't the church be totally surrounded by zombies?
If that bell's been going off every hour on the hour for 60 days or however long this thing is, yes. The whole reason they're not shooting at guns is because they've made it very clear that noise attracts zombies.
Now, what if those 3 zombies are the only ones within hearing distance of the church?
Well, aside from the massive herd of walkers we saw nearby.
Well, they didn't hear the bells till they were in the woods, so...
Yeah, but it's not like that church is built in the middle of some 1,000-acre woods with no roads going to
it.
It kind
of looked like it, though, didn't it?
Well,
like,
let me ask you this.
How did people access that church?
Get a load of the big bloody Jesus on the cross.
Oh, I get him.
Did they find the only... Catholic church in all of rural Georgia just now?
Sure. They have to hide it in the
woods. Because that for damn sure wasn't a Baptist or Pentecostal or he's like that.
No.
You don't get the big bleeding Jesuses in those
places. That's why it's in the woods with no access to it. That's the reason.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tolerance for Catholics in rural communities in Georgia. They have to hide their churches.
Yep.
Okay.
I did think it was funny when Dale walks in. Or not Dale, Daryl. Mm-hmm. Walks in and he's like, yo, JC, you taking requests?
Yeah, right.
I could use a miracle right about now.
Uh-huh.
So I've got an epic fail of the week.
Okay.
This is kind of after they do the church thing. Do you have any other things on the church? I guess we should talk about the two praying scenes, right?
Because
there was kind of a uproar about this.
Well, I thought the carols, the first one, I thought it was tedious, and I think, my God, what a dysfunctional relationship with God you have, lady.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, you stumble upon a church, you almost have to go there.
Yeah.
When they did it again with Rick, I was annoyed.
Yeah, when Rick walks in and he's like, Lord, it's been 1 year since my last confession. I'm actually British.
I mean, Lord, I've murdered this Southern accent. Again, there's children. There's a child out there that needs to be found. The daylight is failing. This bell's been ringing. God knows how many zombies are trying to find it. The other question I had is, since there weren't any zombies around and they did disable the bell, why wouldn't they try to hole up in that church for a little bit, maybe? It seemed like a pretty secure structure.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were still looking for Sophia.
But it was getting dark. It had power
because
the bell was ringing, which is another thing that's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
They have, you know, they have generators that last longer than the CDC, apparently.
Apparently so, yeah.
In rural Georgia.
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't just stay there. But I actually thought it was dumb to, like you said, show two praying scenes. I think it would have been better, honestly, if they just kind of hinted that Rick had prayed or whatever. Like, he comes out and some character goes, what were you doing? And he doesn't answer or something. Because that would go back to, like, the pilot again, where he's talking to Shane in the car and they're bullshitting about their lives. And he says, well, Lori thinks I don't talk enough or whatever. Like, he's kind of reserved a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so I thought that would be, there's probably ways they could have done it more effectively, but I just thought two in the space of less than 10 minutes was too much.
Definitely, yeah. So then another thing I didn't like about that is Rick's sign, because he's definitely at this point looking for a sign.
Uh-huh.
And when you are looking for a sign, he says it. He says any sign will do.
Mm-hmm.
That means everything is a sign.
Right.
So what does his kid getting shot say from God?
You're like, fucked.
Yeah.
Just, I hate you.
Here's your sign.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Next time, don't butcher an American accent. I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And I think it's intentionally, deliberately despairing because this show seems to traffic in despair. They give the characters a little bit of a triumph and then they dash it. They build them up, and then they knock them down worse than before. They find the CDC, and they're all getting drunk and taking hot showers, and then the madman locks them up and tries to blow them up. So,
yeah, I think that's going to be part of Rick's kind of continuing story arc, is he's supposed to be this bastion of morality in this crazy world. I think the world is going to eventually just break him down.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point of all these things, is to break down Rick's spirit.
Yeah. But I think they could have done that. Maybe they give Rick the church scene and Carol has that confession that she wished that her husband were to die and that they would have safe passage through some other, in some other mini conversations she had with people.
Yeah.
What did you think about Andrew's proposition to Shane?
About leaving with him?
Yeah. The door's swinging both ways, baby.
Well, wink, wink, Shane should have jumped on
nudge.
That. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think eventually Shane could run off, and potentially with Andrea. I don't see why not.
What do you think about the group decision? Well, actually, do you think Dale has a little bit too much power in his group? He's lying to everyone mm-hmm. because he thinks they should stay for the girl, and instead of letting the whole group decide that, he's faking mm-hmm. he's faking an injury basically to his RV.
Yeah,
he's single-handedly deciding that Andrea shouldn't have her gun. What do you make of? I mean, I thought Dale came off as a patronizing asshole.
Yeah, I think I like Dale. Certainly, I like the actor. I can't think of his name right now. I think he does a great job with it.
Alf.
I kind of like the character Dale, but I think he's butting into everyone's business a little too much and a little too strongly, like you said.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's playing this very smart. You don't want to postpone the needs of the many versus the needs of the few argument. You want to have that argument.
Well,
you want everyone
want...
on the same page. Otherwise, that's how groups tear apart.
Well, and the other thing is, if they find out, and he's awfully mm-hmm. casual about announcing the T-Dog, who miraculously yeah. survived.
Yeah, yeah, and feels fine.
Yeah, and has got just a bandage holding together mm-hmm. an arterial, you know.
Yeah, a tear.
Wound.
It is. Yeah.
Again, the show drives me crazy. Yeah, I don't. He's awful casual about just dropping the fact that, hey, I'm lying to everybody because I don't want anybody to suggest leaving this little girl.
Yeah.
I think if he's going to in for a penny, in for a pound, he should just totally kept it to himself because now, you know, T-Dog seemed like he supported him. But what if right away he's like, what the fuck you mean?
Yeah.
Where you could leave right now?
Yeah.
Or what if like a day from now when things are getting desperate, they have another zombie attack, he says... Mm-hmm. You know, someone's laying there dead or going to turn into a zombie, and he points to Dale and says, yeah, we could have left yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this just seems like you're right. He's playing a pretty dangerous, dangerous game.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And especially with someone like Daryl in the group. Like, would he have said that to Daryl? Hell no. Because Daryl would have gone up and gutted him and rooted around his stomach for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Like, he wants out of there. Daryl's not part of this group yet, so...
What do you think about a zombie muscling down an entire woodchuck head?
Awesome. I don't know.
I mean, did...
I've done it, so why not?
I guess you don't have to worry about breathing. You
sure.
can just, like, you know, completely constrict your windpipe and esophagus mm-hmm. and just, you know, muscle it down over the course of a few hours and get... I just imagine zombies going through the woods gagging for like 3 or 4 hours until he finally gets it down.
Nice. All right. So I don't have too much more on the review, do you?
I do.
The recap.
Why the hell is Rick still wearing a sheriff hat?
Oh, that's a good question.
And what the hell are those gold antenna they got on there? Like he has these enormous
tassels?
Gold antenna things.
Yeah, tassels.
Why?
It's a style, man. It's a sheriff.
What kind of style?
Ornate. I don't know.
And he's still wearing a hat, man.
Well, the hat I can see, but the restrictive... Because it keeps the sun out of your face. It's hot, Lana, you know.
Okay.
But the rest of his garb, I don't know. And his wristwatch, that's just stupid.
Yeah?
For one, you don't need to know what time it is.
Right.
Nobody's keeping time anymore.
Here's the time. It's daytime and it's nighttime. That's all you need to
exactly.
know.
Exactly. And... Like machinery, like working on an assembly line, a zombie could grab that wristwatch and eat your ass. Like, it's a legitimate hazard.
Right, you shouldn't
Take
wear
it off.
Wedding rings, watches, loose clothes.
Absolutely not.
It's
no.
a bad idea.
Pull your hair back if it's long.
What did you think about the decision to send Shane and Rick and what's the kid's name again?
Carl.
Carl out into the woods for the search party instead of, say... Daryl, who's the best woodsman.
Best tracker.
And
the only tracker.
And Shane, who's the guy that doesn't have a wife and kid.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not a 10-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
Or however old he's supposed to be.
Yeah, pretty dumb. Pretty dumb. Like, remarkably dumb. I don't know how... And I don't know why Lori was so easy to give in on that after she's saying he can't even have a weapon.
I think the writers needed her to be.
I think so.
So yep. She's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, how the hell did we get Carl out in these woods? Why didn't they just have Carl run off into the woods?
Yeah.
Then as soon as they find him, bam, he's shot.
Right. They could have, like,
way
had
smarter.
That, they could have had that deer scene just then
mm-hmm.
with, like, you know, heading back and, like, oh, but the sign and I don't know. It's I want to pick this so apart because what are the odds that situation happens? Mm-hmm. That the hunter doesn't see the guy and he's at the perfect angle.
That the deer doesn't run off immediately.
That's very unlikely, too, if mm-hmm. you know anything about deer and hunting. Uh-huh. I don't know, man. It was a very, very uneven episode.
Yeah.
I love the way that Rick led the zombies off, even though I thought that even then that would be there could be better ways to do it. I liked all the zombie kills. I liked the tension mm-hmm. of the highway set piece. Not crazy about how many, you know, long distance conversations we had with God.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
crazy about the weird, like you said, not remembering the backstories of the characters and conversations they just had the previous episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember it. Why can't the writers?
I don't know.
So, I'm curious to see what the listeners think of this because I mm-hmm. kind of am worried that they're going to hate this podcast because we're ripping the show. They feel like we're ripping the show. Mm-hmm. But I want this show to be better than it is. I want it. I mean, I can enjoy it. I'm going to keep watching it just because of the zombies and the suspense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they can take the characters and do something with them and make me not have to be bitching about them and thinking they're stupid and wishing for the next zombie to come and kill one of them.
Yeah, here's my thing. I'm not doing a podcast about Grey's Anatomy because I don't like Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I like The Walking Dead. I'm doing a podcast about it. I wish it were slightly better. There, I could see the potential, but there are certain things that are just bad about it.
Do you think it suffers because we just came off one of the greatest seasons of all time for Breaking Bad?
It probably does.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, watching the greatest show on television right now, it ruins you a little bit for other shows.
Right. So, again, I think that they just need to step it up, tighten it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get a few... 'cause one of the things you mentioned about a theory about why there's some dissatisfaction online, because I've seen a lot of that in the different blog posts and stuff. It seems like a lot of people are very mixed in how they feel about the show. Do you think a lot of that's just by nature of the zombie fandom?
I'm going to write an article up about basically why The Walking Dead will never be able to satisfy all the fans. Because a lot of this... I'm just going to save it for the article.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on baldmove.com. Probably tomorrow or the next day.
And I'm going to announce my regular feature that I think is going to come out on Fridays is Aaron criticizes a tactical decision the group has made.
Awesome. I like
Every
it.
Every week I'm going to highlight something that they did extremely stupid and anti-survival, and I'm going to mm-hmm. say what they did and what they could have done better. And if they didn't make any stupid mistakes, I'll say about things that they should have done, you know, period. Like if they did,
okay.
if they spin around a whole episode, say fishing, and frog hunting,
frog watching, yeah.
then I'm going to rip them for not fortifying and gathering supplies and hunting and generally moving to a better location. So
sure. Okay.
I have to look forward to.
Awesome. Before we get into just the very few listener feedback, somehow we have listener feedback before our show is even aired.
That's pretty awesome. I like it.
Yeah. That's rollover from the last cast. But before we get into that, I want to ask you the Talking Dead poll question.
Did you just call me a Talking Dead poll?
Talking Tadpole. How long would you search for someone else's child if you were in this situation?
About a day.
A day?
At nightfall.
Till sundown?
At nightfall, I'd say we've got to go.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking, too.
Now, my child, I'd be like, fuck you, leave.
Yeah, I'm staying here. Whatever.
Yeah, I might catch up, but But someone else's, when I've got... Now, it depends. Like, if it's just, like, me and another couple,
mm-hmm.
and they're, like, my best friends, but if it's just some random... We got a fairly large group of survivors,
mm-hmm.
and it's one kid, I'd have to say probably a day. Sundown would be, like, one more zombie... heard that we have no way of warning because, you know, Dale doesn't have night vision. He can't see in broad daylight.
He doesn't have day vision either.
Definitely.
Definitely one day. Yeah, I think I'd go one day as well.
No, come on. You'd be like that second.
Yeah.
As soon as they ran off the woods, they're gone. Move on.
It kind of does depend on do we have any leads to find this person because the woods is a big place.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they can find a clue as to where she went, they're never going to find her. So if you have a clue, if you have a track and a tracker like Daryl, maybe you stick around for the next day. I don't know, camp up in the RV.
I wish I was that good at tracking. That would be an awesome skill to have. I don't know that anyone's that good in real life, though.
No?
I mean, he's like some kind of freaking elf from Tolkien. Like, there's a bent leaf. I can tell it was an 11-year-old girl.
Okay. Well, so it looks like the decision is one day. You have till nighttime to find her, and then we're out.
I'd love to hear. Maybe we should put that up as a poll on our Facebook site.
Okay, sure.
Because the other thing is, that poll was fucked. Do we want to talk about The Talking Dead?
We can talk about that.
99% of people.
No, 99.9.
That's retarded. That JavaScript, they need to fire whoever developed that. Yeah. Or, you know, someone read it as a joke, because that is not a statistically valid answer. There's no way.
It can't be.
1,000 people, only one said anything other than...
Not at all.
Yeah, not staying at all.
Yeah.
There's too many moms watching this show. There's too many white knights. Mm-hmm. They're going to, like, say, someone's going to say something. That could be, if they said 75%, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is a little shocking to say not at all. I would not look for the girl. Yeah. I'm just gone.
Yeah. Nakedly self-interest.
Yeah.
It's a little shocking.
So why don't we go into listener feedback?
Okay.
Since we have so few, I think we only have like 3 or 4 this week. I'm just going to read them straight up.
Do it.
So the first one is from Matt A. He says, "Hey again, guys. I figured if men of your caliber had taken a liking to the series, I probably would too. So I popped in the pilot episode yesterday and watched all of season 1 just in time to see season 2's premiere. I have just one comment this week. Sophia is about as dumb of a 12-year-old as they come. Maybe I'll come across as a Skylar hater for other podcasts, but seriously, what part of stay here, and if I don't make it back, go back to the highway, did she mistake to mean wait till my back is turned and then go wander around in the woods? You'd think 12 is old enough to learn to do as you're told, especially during the zombie apocalypse. She deserves whatever happens to her."
Harsh.
Wow.
I mean, here's the thing.
He definitely checked not at all.
Here's the thing. Kids are dumb.
Yeah. And scared. She was legitimately scared.
And honestly, I don't know why he couldn't have taken her. I mean, he didn't have to carry her. She is 12 years old. She could have stayed on her own feet and came with him.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want her to see all that.
Well, his jeans were soaking wet. They've got to be heavy.
The other thing is, again, if even one person had come with her, had come with him into the woods, like, say, his mother, her mother.
Or Daryl.
None of this would have happened. So,
or Shane.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm not so harsh against kids, because, you know, one truth I accept is kids are dumb.
Yeah.
Kids are dumb.
They act. They don't think too much about what they're doing. They're dumb. They just do it.
They just don't know. They think they do, but they don't. So.
Yep. Okay. Dan from Kingston, Ontario says, "Okay, overall the season premiere was pretty good. They built the tension really well as they pulled up to the huge traffic jam on the interstate and then the RV breaking down leading up to the herd arriving. That all had me very tense." And I wanted to comment on the score there. When they were pulling up to those cars, it was very, very ominous. I really liked it. Bear McCreary does a phenomenal job with the score in this series.
And very sets the mood almost as effectively as our intro music.
Almost. Not quite.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that right now in the middle of this listener's email. This is actually written by my brother. Our theme song is. He's got a band called My Stereona.
Indianapolis' own.
Indianapolis, yep, local here. And I said, "Hey, we are coming up with a new podcast. Can you write us a theme song?" And he did.
We were going to have Michael Bolton come in and lay some, you know, fat, sexy tracks.
Yep.
It didn't work out.
No, he just kept singing about Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, it wasn't setting the tone right. So no. Your brother was gracious enough to come through. We spent all of our podcasting budget on Michael Bolton. Like all the Amazon affiliate money that we...
And he just drank it all down the tubes.
Yeah.
His drink of choice is...
He bought the 4-disc Pirates of Caribbean Blu-ray.
He loves the Chambord. The Chambord and the Sprite. Man, he can't get enough. Anyway, so look in our show notes. There's going to be a link to the entire song. It's about 3 minutes long, and you can go check it out if you want. Back to the listener's email, back to Dan's email. He says,
Dan.
"I wasn't too impressed, however, with the whole church scene. First off, like you said on your webpage,
amen,
the bells would have attracted herds of walkers, and we're supposed to believe that those 3 zombies they found sitting in the church were praying or something? Walkers no longer have sentient brains, do they?"
No, but they did. They've talked about this before in a show that the walkers have like a imprint of their former lives, and they in absence of chasing prey, they tend to gravitate towards things that seem familiar.
Yeah, and I don't know how familiar Dan is with, like, the zombie lore in general, but that's actually a running theme in George Romero's movies, where they are not actually as dumb as they seem at first. They can use tools to a certain degree.
Not these zombies.
They can be taught. Well, I'm just saying zombie okay. lore.
All right.
The guy who basically created the zombie movie, you know. He does that in his movies a lot, where they do things that they were doing during real life, like going to the mall, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as opposed to that as I think some people are. But then he goes on, Rick talking to the Jesus statue was not convincing and was annoying as well, especially after the mother dragged her one-sided conversation with his holiness on and on. I'd have enough of the Bible hour by the end of that scene. Kind of Columbo-esque when Rick starts to walk away from the statue and then immediately turns back. Just one more thing, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, I'm not even really... I guess what I'm trying to say is if I was a hardcore atheist... I might have just switched off the TV.
That's oh, really?
Really stinking annoying. I'm kind of just neutral on the whole subject. I'm oh. apathetic about the subject. So
okay. Well, Dan goes on. Did you notice the sign out front as well? This is interesting. Did you
yes.
notice the sign out front as they all ran up to the church? Looked like the sermon was on Revelation 15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he Googled Revelation 15, and it's about God's wrath on mankind, sending down seven angels carrying the final plagues before the second coming of Christ.
Oh. Of course it is.
So apocalyptic. I mean, it's in Revelation.
I know what Pat
know?
Roberts would be saying as the zombies were storming the stage is because the because homosexuals were having butt sex.
Yeah, the gays.
Yeah,
he always harps on the gays.
Damn it, gays. See what happened? Now we got the undead walking the earth. Nobody can get married.
Yep.
Are you happy now?
He says, also interesting that a smaller sign attached to the larger one read, Welcome Bikers.
Yeah.
So he's wondering if they get a lot of biker gangs in the area. Says he agrees with your comment on the webpage that Rick and Lori's kid is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And he kept expecting him to say to Shane, you were so much nicer to me when you were banging my mommy. That's messed up.
When you were wrestling with mommy.
He also says that in the final scene, no deer in the wild will allow a human to get that close.
Oh, God, no.
I totally agree there. And then he says... that was Rick's sign from God. So thanks, Jesus. Then the last email we have is from Mike. He says, glad to see you're doing the show too. I'm following you over from the Breaking Bad series. Awesome.
It'd be funny if they looked up in the sky and there's a cumulonimbus cloud in the shape of a middle finger.
Yeah.
In case you missed the first one.
Yeah, here's another. And Rick's still looking for the sign, right?
Uh-huh.
Mike says, I didn't think any reasonable party of people would go back to a safety while a 12-year-old girl was lost in the woods, much less woods filled with flesh-eating zombies. So he's actually on the other end. He would search forever, I guess.
Hmm. I got sympathy for that viewpoint. If it was my own kid, I probably would. But I don't know. I guess I've got a very realistic sense of my altruism and... how it would be impacted by a zombie apocalypse.
I guess so. Thought a great deal about it.
Needs of the many, indeed.
He also wonders why Rick had to lead the zombies so far away from the girl before he killed them.
I agree.
Did he run 4 miles, kill the things, and come back a half hour later?
I agree. And it seems like just two of those things on their own would have been really easy to dispatch.
Yeah.
Or he could have just ran them around in a circle, come back, picked the girl, and ran back to the... And then the whole group of survivors could have dealt with the two.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's he'd be good. Like, hey, these two fuckers are going to come stumbling out of the woods. Let's go run down there with our, you know...
axes, knives,
you don't need anything.
Everything.
You just need a big rock
yeah.
or a screwdriver or anything. It's like one of these... That's one thing this show impressed upon me is a zombie by itself is not a threat at all.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even two or three... if you have any kind of weapon at all, are not that big of a threat. It's mm-hmm. only if they take you by surprise or if they have big numbers that they're really that dangerous.
Yeah, the herd is dangerous. The zombies, not so much.
Yeah.
I forget what I was going to say on that. I had something to say. Whatever. Mike goes on.
A smart one.
Yeah. Mike goes on to say, also, Shane became a good guy again in 45 seconds of dialogue with Lori. This seemed to erase some interesting potential that was set up in season one. With the post-shower rape scene and Shane lining up with Rick and Dale watching, like his lining up the sights on Rick.
Well, that was a big problem I had with that that very same episode. They had made Shane out to be kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And then in the CDC episode, they gave him this backstory that almost answered every question about it and really made him likable. And then that same episode, after the writers had elegantly dealt with the whole problem of we don't like Shane, mm-hmm. had him rape Lori, attempted to rape Lori.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, again, what the hell was that? Like, it's two U-turns in one episode.
And if you're going to just keep making Shane look like the bad guy, just make him look like the bad guy and don't redeem him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they think they've got too many bad guys floating around with Merle and Daryl and Shane.
No, I think they're just stringing the resolution this out. It's all, I mean, yeah. But again, why are they trying to make him be sympathetic before they make him into...
Yeah.
Again, apparently writers don't think they've had enough. We as audience have had enough of them just fucking around in the woods and on yeah. abandoned roads.
Well, there's the budget cuts that they have to consider now. So the woods are a lot cheaper than filming at the CDC.
Are they?
I would assume so.
Filming live in the woods is less expensive than a giant soundstage?
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know.
And then Mike goes on to say... I think it's this is an important tipping point in the series. Hopefully they won't go this heavy-handed in future episodes. Unlike Breaking Bad, I think the story is a tough one to keep interesting for multiple episodes.
Well, I think there's a lot you could do with it. The thing is, the really interesting things are probably expensive to film. Mm-hmm. I don't care how bad this particular season gets. I'm going to stick with it another one because this mini season we're getting, I mm-hmm. think we're in for a bumpy ride because of what I've read and that there might be some... you know, bad stuff, but I'm, if season, I guess season 2.5 that comes out later on, if it's the same, I might jump ship on this.
Ooh. Okay.
So, cause there's a hell of a lot of other things we can cover. I'm kind of,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We're probably going to do Hell on Wheels. So that'll be coming out about at the end of this season, you know,
might be timed exactly for the end of the season.
It might be. Yeah. So that's all the feedback I have. Guess we can go ahead and close up shop here.
I'm curious to see what the listeners think about, because you've read the comics or a lot of them. You can certainly stay a step ahead of it. And would you guys be interested in like a spoiler section that talks about speculation about how this dovetails with the comics? Or, you know, I imagine we're going to have a lot of fans of the comics start emailing us and we could read their feedback in that stage. But I know a lot of people that just want to see the TV show don't want to have any discussion of the comics. And we've stayed away from that.
Yeah. And if we do decide to go into the comics, we're going to leave it for after the outro. So we'll have it in a separate section.
We'll play the music. You'll have plenty of time to turn off the podcast. Mm-hmm.
So you never have to worry about spoilers in the main part of the show.
I did love... the way they cut the trailer for next week with the Johnny Cash's I See a Darkness. That was awesome.
Yeah, very powerful.
And that shows like this show is capable of awesome things. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pulling for it and for them to get their act together.
So. And I love the premise of this show, right? It's basically this horrible apocalypse. And how do you keep your humanity? How do you survive while still preserving what is left of you? I think that's a really cool premise for a show, and that's kind of what zombies are all about, right?
Right.
But I really have high hopes for this thing. I hope they can turn it around a little bit and keep the action stuff and the cool scenes that we've seen so far just as good.
What if they kill off Daryl?
No.
If they kill off Daryl, I'm kind of feeling that too.
Yeah.
Since he's the only character I give two shits about, if they killed off Daryl... before they get some others in there and established, I might call it quits.
Yeah, they can't kill Daryl.
That would just be me saying the F word for 60 seconds on a for 60 minutes on a podcast. Like, what the fuck? You know, I mean, it would be not pretty.
Absolutely. They can't kill him. So that's it for the show. Why don't you tell the people where they can find us?
You can email us at watchingdead@baldmove.com, facebook.com/walkingdead.
Watching Dead.
Watching Dead. Thank you for the correction. And tweet at us at Watching Dead.
Yep.
The other thing about that is we've kind of realized as we're going to expand and do more and more series that we are going to, it's going to be too much to keep up with our social media. So this will probably be the last show that we actually split off into its own separate fan page. We're going to probably herd, everybody back to the Bald Move sites.
Yeah, because we have Twitter and Facebook accounts for just straight up Bald Move. And that's kind of where we want to get everybody in the centralized location, because we don't want you to have to follow 14 different feeds.
Yeah.
We don't plan on sending out too many tweets or too many Facebook updates or anything. So I don't think it'll be an issue of where you get flooded by us.
Right.
If you sign up for the straight Bald Move account,
the podcast feeds will be separate because I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you can subscribe to any of the shows or all of the shows,
but the fan stuff will all be, you know, centralized. And unless we hear some very strong negative feedback about that, but I'm thinking that that's probably why that people would rather prefer us, you know, do all that. And we thought about doing something like when we're covering The Walking Dead, you know, we skin our Facebook sites and the logo is The Walking Dead. And then when it switches to Mad Men, it switches logos. And so you can kind of tell what season it is on the Bald Move Network. But I'm kind of curious to see if people like that idea, don't like the idea, whatever. Let us know.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, that's going to do it for this show. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week. As always, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you.